Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor, and glory due. The unique with perfect attributes, he begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companion, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Today, inshallah, we will continue with the classes which are related to Allah's mercy. And inshallah, today we will continue to learn about the will of Allah to flow security, peace, and tranquility in the deep inside of the spirit all the time. That is to say, we are learning about Allah's mercy as it is the source of hope and motivation in our life. Today, inshallah, we will learn in details from the Holy Quran and the Hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about Allah's mercy, and we will learn a story which will clarify to us the importance of the belief in Allah's mercy and how it is very precious. And also we will learn a dua of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking for Allah's mercy. Let us start by learning from the Holy Quran about the mercy of Allah, and we will recite from Surah number 7, Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 156.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واكتب لنا في هذه الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة إنا هدنا إليك قال عذابي أصيب به من أشاء ورحمتي وسعت كل شيء فسأكتبها للذين يتقون ويؤتون الزكاة والذين هم بآياتنا يؤمنون
And decree for us in this world that which is good and also in the hereafter. Indeed, we have turned back to you. Allah said, My punishment, I afflict with it whom I will, but my mercy encompasses all things. So I will decree it especially for those who fear me and give zakat and those who believe in our verses.
So actually, sisters, from this verse of the Holy Quran, we learn the following facts. Number one, great indeed is the mercy of Allah. Its measure is only known by the All-Knower. Number two, Allah's mercy is far greater than the whole universe, whose dimensions are impossible for human beings to visualize. So it must be clear to all of us that Allah's mercy is greater than the whole universe, and we can't imagine how great is Allah's mercy, but let us keep it in our hearts that it is so great and beyond our imagination. We will recite again from Surah number 6, Surah Al-An'am, the cattle, verse number 133, to know about Allah's mercy.
وربك الغني ذو الرحمة إن يشأ يذهبكم ويستخلف من بعدكم ما يشاء كما أنشأكم من ذرية قوم آخرين
صدق الله.
And your Lord is the free of need, the possessor of mercy. If He wills, He can do away with you and give succession after you to whomever He wills, just as He produced you from the descendants of another people.
So actually, sisters, regarding this verse of the Quran, we must learn that we all survive only by Allah's mercy. Our existence depends on Allah's will. That is to say, whatever power human beings enjoy has been given to them by Allah. There is no intrinsic power or self-determined existence. So we learn that Allah has the ability to remove all the human beings and to bring another community in their place, and this is very easy to Allah. So in conclusion, sisters, we must all the time remember Allah's mercy. We must remember that we survive only by Allah's mercy. None of us has a power The only power in this life is the power of Allah, the Almighty. Allah can remove all of us in a second and replace us with other people. This is a fact which we must always remember, so that we can always remember that Allah is the all-powerful and Allah is the most merciful. Now we will learn from the ahadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in more details about Allah's mercy. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah created his creation, he wrote in a book which the Almighty keeps with him above the throne, my grace oversteps my anger. And in another version, my grace oversteps my anger. So actually, sister, this is the proof of the greatness of Allah's mercy and grace. Why? Because we all know that Allah is the most powerful, okay? And in spite of the fact that Allah is the most powerful and He has the power to punish the sinners, but out of His kindness and grace, He chooses mercy instead of punishment or anger. Again, sisters, you know, this is a point or a fact which needs every one of us to reflect on it. The most powerful has the power to punish the sinners. Okay, but to prove that he is the most merciful, Allah wrote above his throne that his grace oversteps his anger, in spite of the fact that he is the all-controller and he is the most powerful and he can show the punishment for those whom they deserve the punishment. But instead, he is the most merciful, and out of his mercy, his grace oversteps his anger. And this fact actually must be highly appreciated by all of us, and we must have Allah as an example for all of us. So whenever you are angry or whenever you want to punish someone, just remember that the most powerful, he wrote above the throne that his grace oversteps his anger. This is Allah the Almighty. What about you, human being, handful of dust? Why you like to punish the people when you are angry with them? Remember Allah, remember the most merciful, be merciful to people, and always have that rule in your life, or law in your life, that your mercy will overstep your anger as your Lord is. Hello, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has made mercy into 100 parts. As it is clear here on the table, sister, 100 parts. He then retained the 99 parts with which he would treat his servants on the day of resurrection. And he placed on the earth one part. It one part that creatures show mercy to one another, to the extent that a female animal lifts its hoof away from its baby animal in order not to harm it. Let me clarify to you this fact more, sisters, so that we can appreciate Allah's mercy. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that Allah has 100 parts of mercy. He kept 99 parts for the day of judgment. And on the earth he put one single part. Out of that one single part of the 100 parts of Allah's mercy, all the creatures on the earth, human beings, birds and animals are showing mercy, kindness to each other. What is the meaning of this, sisters, in details? If you try to reflect on the humanity from day one when Prophet Adam was created until the day of judgment, how many human beings were created, animals and birds, all the mercy they are showing to each other. The mother is showing to her baby, the kid is showing to his parents, the husband is showing to his wife, the birds, mercy between birds and animals, all of this mercy on the earth from day one until the day of judgment equals to 100 of Allah's mercy. Hello, hadith Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that when the female animal will lift its hoof, okay, away from the baby animal because of the feeling of mercy towards her baby animal, this is part of the mercy of Allah, the Almighty. Okay? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam some prisoners were brought to the Messenger of Allah, and there was a woman among the prisoners who was searching for her young baby. When she found her young baby, she embraced him and put him to her breast to feed him. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam put these questions to his companions. Do you think that this woman would throw her baby in the fire? They replied, no, by Allah, she wouldn't. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah is more merciful to his servants than this mother to her child. So actually, sister, this is a very important fact which we need to reflect on, okay? That the fact is that Allah is the most merciful, Allah is the source of all the mercy, Allah is actually the one who is having all the kindness and grace. So we must feel this feeling towards Allah the Almighty. Okay? And actually, from this story, we can try to imagine the greatness of Allah, Allah's mercy. Okay? Now, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When a Muslim appreciates the significance of Allah's commitment to being merciful to his servant, the believer will feel a profound sense of reassurance, which strengthens him during the time of hardships and trial. The believer will be sure that at every moment, in every situation, in every condition, Allah's mercy is present and close. As Allah never denies his mercy to anyone who sincerely hopes to receive it. And this is a very important fact, sisters. When every one of us, or most of us, will be always under the impression that I feel Allah's mercy. There are many people whom they always say, we can't feel Allah's mercy. So when you tell her, sister, how come you can't feel Allah's mercy? She will tell you, because my life is very difficult. The meaning is that there is no room for any one of us to say, I can't feel Allah's mercy. Okay? Because when you start to convince the people that Allah is not against them when they are subjected to hardships and trials, most of the people will tell you, we don't feel it. We don't feel Allah's mercy. So you will answer them by saying to them, look around you. If you have food, there are millions whom they don't have food. If you have clothes, there are millions. In reality, they don't have clothes. If you have a house, if you have a car, if you have education, you have health. And the most important regarding the health is that you can see, you can hear, you can talk and walk and move, you can eat, you can taste food, and you can reflect and think. There are hundreds, there are thousands of people or millions of people, actually they don't have that health. Or they don't have even health insurance. Actually, it is mentioned that out of every 50 kids, nowadays there is one who is having autism. And you can't imagine what is autism except when you live with a child who is having autism. Okay? So, if alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah, you have your health, and either you have kids or you don't have kids, but you don't have a child who is having autism. Because this is a big catastrophe in life. Okay? There are thousands of people, or now millions of people, whom they have this problem in their life, which is a long-term problem. Most of the people are very upset with the short-term problems. Why I don't have a job? Why I don't have a car? Why I don't have a house? These are all short-term problems, because at a time in your life, inshallah, you will have all what you are looking for, even if it is not to that extent which you want, but you will have it. Okay? But the problem is that for those whom they have the long-term problems in their life, which they can't escape it. Either I have chronic illness, or my kid is having a chronic illness, or my husband is having a chronic illness. This is part of our life. We have to live life with this problem. Okay? So all the time remember that if you try to count the blessings of Allah which you have, and you compare it with what you don't have, you will notice that the list of what you have is very long, and what you don't have is one or two or three things. So there is no way to compare Allah's mercy and how Allah is showering you with His mercy and how many blessings you have, okay, you can't compare all of this with what you are missing. And instead of being thankful to Allah regarding the list of the blessings which we have in our life, most of the human beings are focusing on what they miss. Okay, for example, if I miss a husband, if I miss a kid, if I miss being rich or highly educated or whatever, most of the people, they focus on what they miss. And they never try to count how many blessings they have. And they never try to remember the very important fact in this worldly life. Life is a test. This is a very important fact, sisters, which we must remind ourselves by regarding it all the time. This life is not the place to enjoy and to have everything. No, this is wrong. This is wrong statement. If you are a believer in the oneness of Allah, you must believe that worldly life is just a test. And what is the meaning of a test? The test is a time during which, okay, I will be facing a lot of difficult questions, and I am not sure I will be able to answer these questions right or wrong, and then there will be the result of the test. And the result of the test is the most important. This is the reality of the worldly life. So if I realize that worldly life is a test, so I will be ready and I will prepare myself that I must have hardships. But to be all the time close to Allah and a sincere believer in the oneness of Allah, I must all the time focus on the list of the blessings which I have. And I must all the time minimize the size of my hardship, or the dimensions of my hardship, or how tough is my hardship. Because my hardship is expected. Because this is the worldly life. And all the time, sisters, try to remember that Allah never puts a burden on any of us except what we can tolerate. Okay? All the time remember that fact. If you remember that fact, you will try to think it over again. So what I am missing is what I can tolerate, because there are other problems and hardships and trials in this life which I can't tolerate. Okay? But I am maximizing my hardship, okay, because I am an ignorant human being. Because Allah said about the human beings in the Holy Quran, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Human beings are oppressing themselves and they are ignorant. Why they are oppressing themselves? Because they are not trying to know the truth. The truth is that this is the place of the test. There must be hardships. Hardships are part of my life. So I must accept it. As I am accepting the blessings, I must accept the hardship. But human beings always accept the blessings and they refuse the hardship. And they maximize the hardship. And whenever you say to any sister or to any human being, how are you today? I am not in a good shape. Why? Why you are not in a good shape today? Alhamdulillah. All praise to Allah. You have your health, alhamdulillah. You have food for one day, alhamdulillah. You have a car, alhamdulillah. Or you can use the bus also, alhamdulillah. Very good. There is bus, alhamdulillah. So, alhamdulillah, you have food, you have shelter, alhamdulillah. What are you missing? Okay, I am missing what the people are missing, okay? The people are missing what they are focusing on. I can focus every day on something and I can live all my life saying to Allah, oh Allah, I can't feel your mercy. Today or nowadays, I don't have good health. 10 years ago, my kids were not good. 10 years before, my husband was a little bit tough. 10 years before, I was not rich. 10 years before, I left my country and I came alone to America. Oh Allah, where is your mercy? What is this? Allah's mercy is so big, but I can't feel it. Yes, you can't feel it, because in reality you are not a believer in Allah. and you don't know what is the worldly life, and you are not living the reality, and you are a confused human being, and you are totally lost. And the problem is not that you are lost in this worldly life, no problem. Most of the human beings are lost and they are still alive, and Allah is still providing them. The big and the real problem is on the Day of Judgment. Okay, sisters, so as believers in the oneness of Allah, you must all the time believe from the depths of your heart that I am living this life in Allah's mercy, 100% Allah's mercy. All the time I am showered with Allah's mercy and I am living in His uncountable blessings of Allah. Oh Allah, I am thankful to You from the depths of my heart. Regarding having a hardship, I am sure Allah that I can tolerate it. And I am sure Allah that You put me in that hardship because You want me to be closer to You. And you have to know that the nature of the human being or the human spirit is that when the human spirit is exposed to hardship, it will try to become close to Allah all the time. Try to observe yourself. When you are living a hardship, what about your prayers? What about your dua to Allah? How you are trying to be obedient to Allah? And as soon as the hardship will finish, okay, human being will have another attitude with Allah the Almighty. This is the reality or not? I want your point of view, Ghaida.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, definitely. You don't realize that until you go through hardship. And alhamdulillah, Allah gives you sabr and you go through that. But alhamdulillah, I would say, when ta'addu ni'matullah la tahsuha, you cannot even count the blessings. So if you close your eyes and see how much we have, like we see, we breathe, we eat, we drink, we go places and all this, and so many people don't even have that. And this is all rahmah from
Allah. Your point of view.
I agree with what she said, and I also think that people take for granted what they have.
Yes.
And a lot of the time it takes some sort of affliction for them to look back and realize all the mercy of Allah that they did have.
Yes. So.
Alhamdulillah, we have things that other people don't have, and I think it's right too that we seem to overlook it. And I was just thinking while you were talking how it's so short. Like if you're here for a visit, it's truly just a visit, and we don't see how it can help us by just looking at this too, so that we can stay focused and not, go off track. So, alhamdulillah.
Okay, sister. Let us now learn a story which is mentioned by Angel Jibril, and this story is an example of Allah's mercy. Angel Jibril told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the following incident about a man in the past who worshipped Allah continuously for 500 years. That man was granted a shelter on top of a mountain that was surrounded by salty water. However, Allah caused a stream of sweet water to flow through the mountain for that individual. The man would drink from this water and use it for doing wudu, to pray to Allah the Almighty. Also, Allah raised a pomegranate tree from which the man would eat one fruit every day. One day, that person supplicated to Allah that, "O Allah, bring my death while I am in a state of prostration." Allah accepted this dua of him. Whenever Angel Jibril came down to earth, he found this man prostrating to Allah. Jibril said that on the Day of Judgment, Allah will tell the angels to take this person to paradise. through Allah's mercy. However, this man will insist that he should enter the paradise through the good deeds he had performed for 500 years. Then Allah will tell the angels to compare his good deeds with the blessings that were given to him in the world. It will be seen that 500 years of worship doesn't even equal the gift of eyesight that was given to him by Allah. The angels will be asked to take him to the hellfire. Then the man will plead, "O Allah, enter me the paradise through your mercy." At that point, the following discussion will take place between Allah and that man. Allah will say, or Allah said, "O my servant, who created you?" The worshipper, "O Allah, you have created me." Allah said, "Were you created from your good deeds you have done or because of my mercy?" The worshipper, "Because of your mercy." Allah, "Who granted you the ability to worship for 500 years?" The worshipper, "The Almighty, you have granted me that ability." Allah, "Who placed you on the mountain surrounded by the ocean? Who caused a stream of sweet water to flow between the salty water? Who caused a pomegranate tree to grant for you? Who granted you death while in a state of prostration?" The worshipper, "O Allah, the sustainer of the worlds, you granted me all of these blessings." Then Allah will say, "All these have happened due to my mercy, and you too will enter paradise only through my mercy." So actually, sisters, the lessons from this story are the following. Number one, as we mentioned last week about the mercy of Allah, who created us, fashioned us in best shape, made all the universe to serve us, made the man the master on the earth, and Allah granted us health, wealth, children, guidance, and security, or are out of Allah's mercy. And actually, regarding that man who is mentioned in that story, let us count the blessings which he had. A shelter on the top of a mountain, sweet water to drink and wash, daily fruit, guidance to Allah and to worship Him, long life, 500 years of worship, and acceptance of the dua. So that man already had different forms of Allah's mercy, but he focused on his deeds as a way to paradise. He forgot completely about Allah's blessings, which we mentioned, and other blessings which we never remember, as we believe they are for granted. For example, the eyesight. Accordingly, that worshipper needed the reminder of Allah regarding Allah's mercy. We must always believe that we will never enter paradise except by Allah's mercy, as our good deeds can't be compared with Allah's blessings. Actually, sisters, if you try to reflect on that story, try also to compare that man with yourself. Okay, when you are not happy, okay, with Allah's decree, or when you feel that you are a very sincere worshipper. And inshallah, I am sure that I will be in the paradise because of my good deeds. You see, so you must remember from that story that man, he worshipped Allah 500 years, day and night. He was not working, he was not doing anything. He was just worshipping Allah the Almighty. And in spite of that 500 years of worshipping Allah, okay, they were equal to eyesight. Subhanallah. So what about the rest of the blessings which we have in this life? Okay, we must actually, sisters, reflect on these facts, and we must have time with ourselves. For example, every day you must have with yourself, okay, 15 minutes. When you are in the best, when you are in the best time, because for every one of us there is a special time when you are in the best mood, okay, and when you can reflect in the best way. Okay, for example, for me, I have that time, for example, after Fajr prayer for 1 or 2 hours. That's it. The rest of the day, I am out. And whenever my daughter Yusr, at night, she will come and tell me I have problem so and so, I will tell her, not now. I will not be able to listen, and I will not be able to give you any decision. Wait until tomorrow morning around 6 o'clock in the morning, then mention to me the problem again. At that time, inshallah, I will tell you my decision in 5 minutes. But now, no. Yes, because you know, this is normal for every one of us. There is time when you are focusing, you have your focus in the best maximum, okay, and you are in a good psychological mood, so that you can reflect, you know, you can reflect in the best shape. So when you are having that time, okay, don't think of your problems. At the beginning, remind yourself with Allah's blessings. Okay, say it yourself, you and yourself. You must have time for yourself every day. This is the medicine for all hardships. Because at that time you will remind yourself, myself, let us focus. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So myself, what is the problem today? Okay, yourself will tell you the problem today is so and so. So you will say again to yourself, myself, and so what? This is normal. The best physician for yourself is yourself. Okay? None can convince you to be happy or to accept Allah's decree except yourself, because this is the mercy of Allah. So when you will say to yourself, myself, and so what? No problem. I have a lot of blessings. There must be a hardship, and we can tolerate it. And Allah is the most merciful, and we are close to Allah. And Allah promised that with every hardship there is ease. So myself, take it easy. You must have that time with yourself or with your spirit every day. Every day you must convince yourself that all praise to Allah, we are living in Allah's mercy. And let us look around. And when you look around, don't focus on the blessings of others. Focus on the hardships of others, so that you can realize that your hardship is more easy than the hardships of the other people. When Allah loves someone, okay, this will be the attitude of that person, is that I never look for the blessings of the others. I always feel the hardships of the others. And when I compare their hardships with my hardship, I will be so thankful to Allah, all praise to Allah, and I will also be merciful with the others, because I feel their hardship. Most of the human beings are not feeling Allah's mercy because they focus on their hardship, and they focus on the blessings of the others. So when they compare it, okay, they will feel that they don't have any blessings, because she has the best job, and she has the best car, and she has the best husband, and she has the best kids. They have the best of the best. And what I have? Nothing. Nothing. I don't have anything. So I don't feel Allah's mercy. Because you don't deserve to feel Allah's mercy. Because feeling Allah's mercy is the form of Allah's mercy. The best form of Allah's mercy is to feel Allah's mercy. Okay, when Allah will make you to feel all the time that I am showered with Allah's mercy, then someone will come and tell you, but you have a lot of problems. Why you are all the time saying, I am showered with Allah's mercy, I am very thankful to Allah, everything is good from Allah. How come you are all the time having this feeling as a reality? You will tell her, because out of His mercy, He makes me to feel His mercy. And when you live in the mercy of Allah, you will not feel any of the hardships which you have. You will evaluate the hardship as a test of the worldly life. And everyone is living the test. And all praise to Allah that I can tolerate my hardship. And all praise to Allah that I am feeling Allah's mercy. And all praise to Allah that I will be rewarded highly for my hardship. And all praise to Allah that I have patience in my during my hardship. So all praise to Allah. I am the best human being on the earth. If the human beings are not feeling my feeling, because they are not feeling Allah's mercy, because they don't evaluate life correctly. This is how a true believer must evaluate the worldly life and the hardships, and how the true believer must feel Allah's mercy. So how you can know how you can evaluate the people regarding Allah's mercy when you question them how you feel regarding Allah's mercy. When someone will tell you, in spite of all the hardships which you may observe regarding that person will tell you all praise to Allah from the depth of the heart. Not just words to make the people feel that I am happy. Okay, no, the true believer sister never care for the human beings at all. Because human beings are handful of dust. They cannot give me happiness and they cannot remove my happiness. They cannot give me anything and they cannot take from me anything. So human beings are aside. My life is between me and Allah. So long I am connected with Allah correctly, Allah will shower you with His mercy immediately. So all the time, from the depths of your heart, you will be feeling Allah's mercy. So you will be in a very good shape. And everyone will be surprised how you are in a very good shape and how you are trying to help others in spite of the fact that in reality you are the one who needs the help of the others. How you are living this life and having this mood because Allah's mercy is touching your heart. How Allah's mercy is touching your heart when you are all the time counting the blessings of Allah. What is inside my eyes are the blessings of Allah. I am living in the blessings. What about the hardship? The hardship, okay, is Allah's duty, not my duty. I am not the one related to the hardship. My relation in this world, the life is with Allah. I am obedient to Allah. I am following the rules of Allah. I am touched by the mercy of Allah. Regarding the hardship, I am patient and I am sure, 100% out of my belief in Allah's mercy that there is a solution. Insha'Allah it will come. Insha'Allah one day, that day is very close to me, insha'Allah. And until that day come, I am showered by Allah's mercy and I am living in the blessings of Allah. This is how you know the true believer in Allah. It is not from the head cover, it is not from the long dress, it is not from coming to the masjid. Okay, all of this insha'Allah, any person will be rewarded for it. But to know the reality of the belief in Allah is through the feeling of Allah's mercy. So now insha'Allah sisters, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So I want to ask you, do you feel what I mentioned now or not? And if not, let us always say the truth. Because you will reach the truth when you live the truth with yourself. Don't ever cheat yourself. This is very important. For the sake of what I will cheat myself. I will never cheat myself. When I am not happy, I will say I am not happy. And I must face that reality, and I must discuss it, and I must remember Allah's blessings, and I must say to myself, let us repent to Allah, the Almighty. And actually, sisters, I will tell you about a statement which actually is belonging to me. This is my statement. I always mention it in my Arabic classes, and I always mention to the sisters in my Arabic classes that on the Day of Judgment, I will meet Allah the Almighty with that statement. In Arabic, it is Malish ghairak, mafish ghairak. And in English, it is I have none but you, because there is none but you. That's it. This is the worldly life. I have none but you. Because there is none but you. When you have this feeling with Allah the Almighty, you will feel a lot of strength in your spirit. You will not see the human beings at all. Because there is none but Allah, and I have Allah. So long I have Allah, and Allah is everything. So that's it. Let the people lie, and let the people cheat, and let the people do whatever they want against me. I don't see them. They are not count. I don't count them at all. I have Allah, and Allah is everything. So I want you to write that statement, I have none but you, because there is none but you. Mention this to Allah when you supplicate to Allah, when you start calling on Allah and you want to connect with Allah correctly. Say to Allah from the depth of your heart with all the belief that, O Allah, I have none but you, because there is none but you. When you keep on repeating that statement, you will feel it in the depths of your heart, and it will be reflected on your mood, on your action, on your Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, on your dependence on Allah the Almighty. You will feel very strong and you will feel relaxed. You will not worry at all. You will never feel worry from any person, from any power, from any need at all, so long the one who has everything is with me and I have him with me all the time. So I want you, sisters, to have this fact and clear to your spirit, and I want you all the time to have 15 minutes with yourself. Whenever you feel that I am not in a good shape, okay, let me count the blessings. Let me count my blessings. Alhamdulillah, they are many. Alhamdulillah, I want Allah to keep the blessings. Because if I don't thank Allah for the blessings, Allah will remove the blessings. And instead of having one problem or one hardship, I will have many hardships. And I can't say to Allah, oh Allah, why you multiplicate my hardships? Allah multiplicated your hardships because you were never thankful for the blessings. And this is a Quranic law which we must remember. I will give it to you now so that, sister, you must remember that fact. Be thankful for the blessings, otherwise they will be removed. And when they will be removed, you can't imagine how you will appreciate these blessings. But it will be always too late. Okay, we will recite now from the whole surah number 14, verse number 7. Surah number 14, verse number 7. Okay.
وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَئِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَئِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And remember when your Lord proclaimed, if you are grateful, I will surely increase you in favor, but if you deny, indeed, my punishment is severe.
Actually, sister, if you deny the blessings of Allah, so that you can know the meaning of this verse of the Quran, if you deny the blessings, Allah will remove the blessings. And you, if you are grateful to Allah, Allah will increase you in favor. So all the time try to remember the blessings of Allah. Try to say to yourself, I am living in Allah's mercy, and inshallah, Allah will shower you more and more with His mercy. Now we will know another hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding Allah's mercy. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if someone intends to do a good deed and he doesn't do it, then Allah will write it for him a full good deed. And if he intends to do a good deed and actually did it, then Allah will write it for him and reward him 10 times up to 700 times to many more times. And if someone intends to do a bad deed and he doesn't do it, then Allah will write it for him a full good deed. And if he intends to do a bad deed and actually did it, then Allah will write it for him one bad deed. So sisters, try to compare. When you intend to do a good deed and you didn't do it, you didn't do anything, you will be rewarded with one good deed. And if you do it, it will be multiplied 10 times, 700 times or more. This is, Allah is the most merciful. Regarding the bad deed, you intend to do a bad deed and you didn't do it, you will be rewarded. You see how Allah is the most merciful. Allah is rewarding the person who intended to do a bad deed and he didn't. Allah will reward him and will give him one good deed. And if he did it, it will be only one bad deed. Not like the reward of the good deed, which was multiplied 10 times, 700 times. So most of the time, we are rewarded by Allah. When we do the good deed, we are rewarded. When we intend and we didn't do, we are rewarded. When we intend to do bad deed and we didn't, we are rewarded. The only time we are punished by Allah is when we do the bad deed, and the punishment will be 1 to 1. But the reward for the good deed was 1 to 10 to 700. This is the proof of Allah's mercy, and this is how Allah the Almighty is encouraging every one of us to do the good deeds. Sisters, we must all the time remember that fact. The Holy Quran, number 6, verse number 160, page 199.
من جاء بالحسنة فله عشر أمثالها ومن جاء بالسيئة فلا يجزى إلا مثلها وهم لا يظلمون.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Whoever comes on the day of judgment with a good deed will have 10 times the like thereof to his credit, and whoever comes with an evil deed will not be recompensed except the like thereof, and they will not be wrong.
And also in Surah Al-Baqarah, in Surah number 2, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, Allah mentioned about the multiplication of the reward of the good deed. Again in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah is clarifying that the reward for the good deed can be multiplied up to 700 from Surah number 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 271. What is mentioned... 261. What is mentioned in this verse of the Quran is regarding the spending for the sake of Allah, but it is also for all the good deeds which Allah can multiply it up to 700.
مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة. وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ.
The example of those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah is like a seed of grain which grows 7 spikes. In each spike is 100 grains. And Allah multiplies His reward for whom He wills, and Allah is all-encompassing and knowing.
So actually, sisters, Allah is mentioning to us in this verse of the Quran that Allah multiplies His reward for whom He wills. And actually, it is mentioned here that, for example, if you give $1 for the sake of Allah, it is up to Allah's mercy that it can be multiplied up to $700 or more and more on the Day of Judgment, inshallah. Now, we will learn a story about Allah's mercy and how we must remember Allah's mercy all the time. The name of the story is Thank You, O Allah. And also the title is Did You Get a Bill from Allah the Almighty? The story is that a man reached 70 years of age and he had a disease in his eyes which made him unable to see. The doctors told him that he needs an operation to cure his illness. He agreed to do the operation as the problem was causing him a lot of pain and sadness. When the operation was completed, the doctor gave him a bill, which covered all the costs. After looking at the bill, the man started crying. Upon seeing this, the doctor said, "If the cost is too high, then we could make some other arrangement for you regarding paying the bill." The old man replied, "I am not crying because of the money, but I am crying because Allah the Most Merciful let me have good vision for 70 years and He never sent me a bill." Okay, subhanallah, sister. This is Allah's mercy which we never appreciate or thank Him for it except when we lose it. This is the problem of us human beings. So all the time we must remember Allah's mercy, and let us learn a supplication of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding Allah's mercy.
Our contact, different eyes have different strength. So one time I put the opposite strength. I felt so dizzy I couldn't see anymore. So just to see like something very simple, subhanallah, you know, how we're designed and how we're...
Subhanallah, very complicated. The human being is very complicated, but everything we have, it is for granted. Yeah. I must have the good health and might have the best husband and might have the best
education. When I start wearing contacts, I mean, I just, you know, I feel now how, you know, good sight, 100% sight
is great.
You see,
it's a big blessing. I have the same issue. So, and I can't wear the contact anymore. Mm. You see, this is another problem, and I always look to the people whom they don't have glasses, and I say to myself how they are very blessed from Allah, but they never appreciate. When you say to any sister, you have a great blessing that you are not using eyeglasses, she will tell you, what is this? This is something very simple. What is the problem to have eyeglasses? I will answer her, you will never know how it is not very simple, except inshallah when you will have an eyeglass. Okay, and all the time you will throw it at any place, you know, and then for example for me, when I wake up in the morning, I don't know where is my eyeglass, so I will start. Then sometimes, you know, I will push my eyeglass and it will be broken. And I don't know that my eyeglass is, you know, below my hand. Subhanallah, human beings are very weak and they never realize that fact except when they are really weak. When they are really weak. So now, inshallah, bismillah, about the supplication of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asking Allah for His mercy. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Allah, it is your mercy I am seeking. So this means that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling on Allah for His mercy. Then Prophet Muhammad is saying to Allah, so let me not give in to myself for the span of an eye's wink. What is the meaning of this? So Prophet Muhammad is saying to Allah, don't make me to feel that I am dependent on myself. Let me always feel that I am supported by your mercy. Okay, don't leave me to myself, because in ourself there is the shaitan. So the shaitan will mislead us. Okay, in spite of the fact that the shaitan of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was guided, but Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us that we must be all the time seeking Allah's mercy and not depending or looking for ourselves to control our life. Otherwise, the shaitan will be the controller. Make good all my affairs, there is no good but you. So in this supplication, the two most important facts is that Prophet Muhammad said to Allah, it is your mercy that I am seeking. This is number one. Let me not to depend on myself at all, even for the span of an eye's wink, which is very, very, very little time. Even for that little time, I don't want to depend on myself. I want to be all the time showered by your mercy. And always in the supplication to Allah, sisters, try always to mention to Allah that, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, there is no God but you. All the time, you must start or end your supplication by these words, there is no God but you. So we also say to Allah, O Allah, our Lord, the most merciful, grant us the wisdom to appreciate how great is your mercy, and also to thank you day and night for your unaccountable blessings. And let us make the dua. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good luck and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day.
Amen.